Welcome to Easel Talk, the podcast for easelinsight.com, with your hosts, Phil Stark and Gabor Svagrik. This podcast is created for artists by artists. To follow along with today's discussion, remember to download the show notes at easelinsight.com/blog. And now let's get started with today's episode.
Welcome to Easel Talk. My name is Gabor Svagrik.
And I'm Phil Stark.
And today we're going to be discussing how to avoid mud when working wet into wet.
That's right.
Good question. This comes up in our classes, online classes, physical classes. We've seen this in action.
Yeah, I've painted a lot of mud.
Yes.
Over the years.
I think I'm right there with you.
I'm an expert on mud.
Yeah, and mud. You know, actually, before you even get into the sort of specifics, is that, I don't know, I think I've heard this or, well, no, I think this could have been Ken Oster said that there is no such thing as wrong color. It's just
right,
wrong placement.
Yeah, wrong value.
Wrong placement. And I think what Ken said is that on your palette, when you're mixing, everything looks harmonious, right?
Yeah.
But once you put it onto to your canvas, it's could be out of context, but that's more color stuff. But let's get back to the mud.
Yeah, I think this was a question in Easel Insight on the private Facebook group. A lot of these questions come up. Mm. And we get this question a lot.
Yeah.
But what is mud? I think the definition of mud would be a color that is not in harmony with the colors around it, values off, temperature is off. Because actual mud itself can work if it's, like you said, if it's harmonious.
We can even call it, we can call it grays.
Yeah.
Sometimes, because mud is a sort of a somewhat middle value. It's not bright. It's not a bright color, obviously. It's more, more toned down. But the beauty, actually, it is. Generally, people want to go to the bright colors. That's just the natural thing. We want to, like, because it's quote unquote pretty. But when you look, if you go to a museum and you look at, we can go down the line, we can give you some names, we can probably put them into the show notes for you. It's easier so you can kind of click them. But the reason a painting, an area of a painting looks colorful is because there's mud around it.
Right, yeah. Something looks brighter because something is duller next to it, yeah.
The reason we have, a steak is good because you had a bad steak.
Exactly.
Right, but again, I don't know if we're getting a little more deep here, but we can kind of go down the line, but these are things that come up in the classes too, and these are just important points that we need to discuss with this mud business.
Yeah, and I think the point here is, and it helps to understand what mud is, but the point here is when you're painting wet into wet and you put down a color and a value and then you paint something on top of it, how do you keep from them blending together too much?
Yeah.
So there, it's kind of a two-prong thing.
Yeah.
What is mud? And, you know, there's good mud and bad mud. And then I think this is more to the application. How do you paint on top of other colors and not get that discordant color?
And that's where the frustration of oil, a little bit of oil painting. If you come from, let's say, the acrylic or gouache world or pastel world, even watercolor world for that matter, because it dries very fast.
Yeah.
The oils don't,
right?
So it gets, quote-unquote, muddy. I want to have that directness over the other color. Well, there's a few things you can do. You can start thinner and then gradually work up thicker. Artists do like that juicy feel, right? But in order to get to that juiciness, generally those paintings started thinner and then they were gradually worked up. Also, that painter probably painted for you seeing a painting that's, they have 30 years behind them too. So let's just be realistic too. I want to make sure you guys are, keep your foot on the ground here, shoot for the stars, but it's just, amount of hours that were put into that too. But I think starting the thinner and gradually work thicker is a good way, because if you start the other way, it's very difficult.
Then you get that mud real quick.
Yeah, real fast. Okay.
Yeah. And thinking in terms of keeping your darks thinner and your lights thicker. And if you start from dark to light and you start blocking your darks, keep them thin. Then as you build up to the halftones and the lights, you get those thicker. So you get a cleaner color. You can paint right on top of the darks to some degree. As long as the darks are thinner and the lights, the lighter you get, the thicker the paint is. And that way you get a cleaner buildup of paint and you don't get that. Although you do want some of that mud in the sense that you want a little bit of blending and mixing, but you can control it again by starting thinner in the darks and get thicker in the lights.
Yeah. Starting to see in terms of shape and not detail, that's a really good one too, because when you're learning about painting, you're looking at every little detail. You want to make sure that leaf has a texture, right? Because it's a leef.
Blade of grass
has, you know, certain things have more, you want to pronounce them more than others. And that could set you up for, you know, kind of failure right from the start. So you want to be painting shapes, not detail too. So you have to be in that mindset, and that's one way of which you would think, like, well, how would it help me if I'm looking at shape versus, you know, a tree with all the little leaves? Is that basically we're thinking in the terms of blocking in. That's kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And when you're blocking in, a good rule of thumb is your dark should be thinner and your light should be thicker. And generally when you block something in, you block in with the darks to middle values more to darks. That's your block in stage, generally in the painting world. You don't put the highlights, you don't block in with highlights.
Yeah, smaller detail. That always is at the end.
That at the end. So your highlights would be the more thicker paint. And putting thick paint all over is like screaming too.
Yeah.
And again, that's one way of avoiding getting mud is having your darks thinner and your lights thicker. So that's I think a good one.
Yeah, I think I get into trouble mud wise. My paint tends, my colors get muddy when I do start getting too picky. So I know I'm getting too picky when the colors start getting muddy, because you got the smaller brushstroke and you're just going over and over trying to do smaller little shapes and details, and there's just too much blending. But again, keeping the darks thinner, lights thicker, and be more direct with your brushstrokes. And get away from detail, because that's what's going to cause mud until the end. And a lot of times the detail at the end for me is dry brush. I'll let the paint set up and dry and then come back and add detail with dry brush paint, where it's wet paint on top of dry paint. And you get rid of the mud that way too. So
yeah. And again, this is why... this is a podcast, we're talking, right? But visually showing it is definitely very helpful. But the idea with the podcasts, with our voices, is for you to think about these things that we're talking about. And then, you know, visually we have, you know, instructional videos and what have you, and that's where it can come alive, some of these things. But watching a video, just because you watch something, it does not equate that you actually know it. It just doesn't. So information does not equate knowledge, kind of thing. So
just because, in the more you do it.
So just because you, I'm sure some of you have videos from Phil or from me, go back to those videos, rewatch them. I guarantee you, if you have a year of gap between watching the video again, when you go back this time around, you're going to discover things that you didn't discover before, because hopefully you have been painting, you know, within that year period. So you gain more knowledge and you can say, oh, okay, now I understand what, you know, Phil or Gabor is saying. I didn't understand it before. So I'm going off the subject a little bit, but it kind of ties back into what we're talking about here. Is it literally is a trial and error on your part,
right? Yeah.
Just because you listen to this podcast, you're not going to be, oh, okay, I got it. Or just because you watched a video, oh, okay, I got it. Well, you know, put that into practice, and I guarantee you're going to see, well, you don't have it yet.
Yeah.
And we didn't have it yet either in the past. No. Is we thought we had it, right? But when we put it into practice, we don't have it. And right. the only way to sort of have it is that trial and error part. And again, that's the whole journey thing. You cannot have, especially in the painting world, it's a slow process. It's a slow growth, not because you're not learning fast enough. So don't get frustrated because it's you. It's generally a slower process to get better with painting. It's inevitable. It's not like, you know, some other things that you might have learned in your life. And you might, I don't know, even let's say if you're an engineer, you learned the basics, but it still took you a long time to learn the other things. But it's not like math. And that's why if you have an analytical mind, this stuff gets frustrating because it doesn't work. You know, 1 + 1 kind of thing. It, you know, it's not necessarily 2. With painting.
Exactly, yeah.
And
it's more based on repetition than than anything else.
So that's the whole mystery of it. And many, gosh, so many people, people that like to, you know, professional chefs to whoever, just they reached a high level in their career, and then they say they want to paint. Like, I don't know why people, it's amazing that painting has such a, I think it's because partially it's not an easy thing maybe to conquer. I don't know. I'm still sometimes thinking about this question. Why do people that have reached a very pinnacle in their career, they want to paint? So many of them too. I mean, it's out there. It's amazing. And I think, you know, painting is really up there with our, you know, with our human, we want to express our thoughts. I know we're drifting again, we're in this, but again, it does tie back into this mud business, because it's not going to come overnight. That's what we're trying to say.
Right.
Be patient.
And the more you practice it too, like the idea of thick paint over thin, you realize when you try and do that, it's harder than you think to come up with thicker paint. Because you mix with the brush and you mix and you think it's thick and you put it down and it's not thick enough. It doesn't make an impact and it kind of sinks into the shadow and again creates that mud. So using a palette knife to mix your lights forces you, it's hard to mix a thin layer of paint with a palette knife, forces you to mix thicker. And you can practice applying that thick paint on top of the thin. And like Gabor says, it's all about practice. Once you understand it, you're not there. It's that practice, repetition of doing it over and over after you understand it, where you start to see improvement.
You're like a mad scientist that, you know, people are looking at like, why are you still doing this? This is not, obviously it's not working. Well, I know, you know, I know what's not working now. So you kind of start eliminating things that don't work and start using things that do work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even art school, Phil and I went to art school, but, you know, they do teach you, you know, the fundamentals of things, but it took us still a while, even after art school, to start, you know, figuring some of this stuff out. You still have to put in, you know, the effort afterwards. Yeah. So going to art school is not going to be guaranteeing you that you're going to be a good painter. It gives you some fundamentals, but you got to do the rest of the work on your own.
Right. And you have to make the mistakes too. I think we want every painting to turn out.
Yeah.
But see everything as practice. And as you make a mistake, learn from it and just move on. Don't worry about beating a painting to death.
Yeah.
And along with making mistakes is the idea that, you know, you can scrape an area and start over. And to avoid, again, the mud thing, if your darks get too thick, don't hesitate to scrape. A lot of artists will go back and intentionally scrape the dark areas to thin them down so that when they put lights next to them or slightly over them or directly on top of them, they can, you know, get that contrast of thick and thin, dark and light paint and not create as much mud. So don't hesitate to scrape your shadows to get them thinner.
I mean, we can give you an example right here as far as kind of sort of creating mud where it's, it just doesn't look good. I know it was working wet into wet, but going back just to the mud part is that if you have a distant hill going back way back and it's kind of mauve-ish, cool color, do not mix burnt sienna in there. Burnt sienna will make it muddy. I mean, it just will not work. Like, one color that you do not want to put into distant hills is burnt sienna.
Yeah, that's the killer color that everybody tends to use.
Yeah, we can do a whole episode on that.
We might do one. Write that down. How to use burnt sienna.
How do you use it and not abuse it, or something like that. So, yeah, in the beginning of this podcast, I talked about there is no such thing as wrong color. So that this whole, you know, how not to paint mud is not bad. It's the context of where, how do you use it? Where do you put it? Where it gets a little tricky. And again, that only could be answered upon your painting. It's difficult to apply that to another painter's work.
Well, one thing that helps me, though, if I'm thinking in terms of applying the paint, again, you get the mud if you apply it wrong as well as getting the wrong value or temperature. But if I'm applying my lights on top of a darker paint and I start scrubbing with the lights, I'm not keeping my value separate and I'm getting mud. Now, there are times where I do want to scrub, soften an edge or something, but most of the time I'm scrubbing in the darks because they're thinner, but in the lights I'm mixing thicker paint and I'm more deliberate with each brush stroke. Try not to go over it a second or third or fourth time. So again, if you're going to scrub, do it in the darks and apply the thicker, more direct brush strokes in the lights.
Yeah, and if you zoom in into some of the Russian, like, let's say I'm just taking the Russians because they have such beautiful grays in their painting. If you would zoom in, crop in really hard into sections of paintings, and then we would just literally take that section, you would say, oh man, this is muddy. It's kind of a muddy color,
exactly.
Right? But when I open that up and you look at the whole painting in context, you're like, whoa, it's a beautiful painting.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we're kind of talking about here, about that mud business. That mud is not necessarily bad,
right?
It's actually, the grays are the most difficult colors to paint, and that's where sort of the beauty lies. Now, untrained eye would say color, like the bright colors, but a trained eye would say no, it's the grays, because that takes I'm saying skill in the sense of more practice, not like you're just naturally gifted to. What I'm just saying is that artists have put in more time and effort into their painting by painting when you see those beautiful grays. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Most of you have the talent. And that, again, that's another episode we can do something about, you know, talk about the talent thing too. So talent, you obviously have the talent because you're listening to the show. So you can't say that I'm not talented, but you're listening, you're already painting, you're listening to the show. So the talent thing, you could don't get hung up on that.
Right, exactly. It's all about the amount of hours you put in.
Yeah, for sure. So again, we hope that we cleared up at least somewhat about the mystery about this whole mud business and how to paint wet into wet. And again, we're gonna put some stuff into the show notes for you to look at, and we'll get some painters.
Yeah, some images, close ups, some details of applying thick paint over thin
paint. Yeah, so thanks again for listening,
and
we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to another episode of Easel Talk, the podcast that takes your art to the next level. Subscribe to and review our podcasts on iTunes and Stitcher. Check out our website, easelinsight.com, for more episodes and information. See you next time on Easel Talk.